Indeed, turn it up. Hey, everybody, this is B on Dot Paul Podcast. How you doing? So let's talk about Southern rock. We talked about progressive rock, and everybody who knows me knows that I love the Canadian Kings Rush, progressive rock. But before them, when I was a much younger man, let me give you a little history of me. So I was born in Dallas, Texas, raised here, and then raised in Mississippi as well. So I am a son of the South. I am a Southerner. That's what I got going on. And it's the one thing I probably know the most about is the South, just from being here. And also it's kind of a law. So Southern rock, this was some of the first music I heard that was rock and roll music, or music that my peers were listening to, or kids a little older than me were listening to. And it was what was on the radio. There were top 40 stations, a lot of AM, and then FM at the time was album oriented. So, you know, Allman Brothers came out, Skynyrd, Marshall Tucker, ZZ, they would play the entire side one and then flip it over and play the entire side two. That was their programming, was album rock, and that's why it was called that. As you guessed, you know, Southern rock is a genre of rock music that originated in the Southern United States, primarily in the late 60s and early 70s. Peace out. It is characterized by a unique blend of rock and roll, blues, country, and even some elements of gospel and soul music. Southern rock bands often feature prominent guitar work. Some of the greatest guitar players ever have been in Southern rock bands. Strong vocal harmonies, lyrics that reflect culture, lifestyle, and the history of the American South. So guitar-driven sound, everybody knows that sound. You hear it on the radio today, what they call classic rock, XM radio. They have classic vinyl, classic 70s, 80s, 90s, you name it. And then there's classic podcasts, and but you know that riff, that sound. It's distinctive, the guitar solos and the harmonizing guitar solo lines, most people know by heart. You can't play them, but when you hear them, you know what they are. Blues and country influences, Southern rock draws heavily from blues, and rock and roll is from the blues, and the blues is from gospel music. I lived in Memphis, Tennessee. If you've ever been to Memphis, you like Elvis. Where Sun Studios is, you'll get up on some blues. Bill Street, which I highly recommend, down by the river, is the place to be. And if you're lucky, go to Memphis during the International Barbecue Cooking Contest, because you can do that down by the river and then walk up the hill onto Bill Street, and guaranteed you will have good music, good food, good drink, and good people. Basically a really good time. The South rocks. I love the South. Where was I before I did a commercial for Memphis? We're talking about the genre. And, you know, you'll hear a slide guitar, bluesy scales, countryside style, you know, storytelling and lyrics. Lyrics about the South. Many Southern rock songs focus on themes related to Southern way of life, including rural living, small towns, family, and regional pride. A lot of regional pride. Some songs also touch on the more complex issues like social and political topics. This is true. Vocal harmonies. Many Southern rock bands use tight vocal harmonies. You know, they used to call them backup singers or line singers or back of house singers. They were part of the sound. You know, Lynyrd Skynyrd was famous for the women that were, they were in the band. They weren't the backup singers. They may have stood over to stage right of the musicians, but they were not backup at all. And they're one of the reasons they were so successful. So yeah, you know, it's a rich and full sound, especially true for bands like Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd that I was just talking about. Diverse instrumentation. Guitars are the central element, but you have keyboards, harmonicas, horns, and all of this adds to the depth of sound. And slide, you know, you won't hear, you know, the theremin. I think that's what that thing is called. Led Zeppelin trouted out on stage for an album. But you will hear a banjo or two. Just saying. So, you know, some Southern rock acts. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama, Freebird. Skynyrd is one of the most iconic Southern rock bands. A lot of people, when you say Southern rock, I was talking to a coworker and I was like, yeah, dude, I'm going to do a Southern rock podcast. He goes, Skynyrd? I go, yeah. Allman Brothers band, love the Allman Brothers. I saw them at the Fillmore East and, oh my God, they were awesome. Famous for their extended jams, you know, sessions, you know, Ramblin' Man, Jessica, just to name two. Marshall Tucker Band, a great band, blend of rock, country, and jazz. They were awesome. And you still hear their stuff on TV. A lot of, I hate to say this, commercials are actually Marshall Tucker Band songs. You just don't know it because the vocal's not there. And then little old band from Texas. That's right, ZZ Top. The guys from Houston, East Texas, and Dallas, ZZ Top. They are a bluesy rock band, and they are a Southern rock band. A lot of people say, oh, ZZ's not Southern rock. Yes, they are. Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. Remember that? They were kind of Southern hard rock, if you will, and I use that in quotes. Boy, they were good. I saw them live, seen ZZ Top live many times. Matter of fact, I have photographs. I was at a ZZ Top sound check and later at the gig, and I have photographs from that outing. They do have beards, but their beards are short and cropped, and they're young men. And I was 18, 19 when I took these photographs. Still have them, still have the original slides, that I printed the photographs from. Back then we would take pictures of concerts and we would put them on slides, and then you would take your reel or your cassette of the slides over to your friend's house, and they had the same thing. You just go boom, and then tink, 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 and you may drink a beer or two, or you may do something else. And yeah, bro, they played this, and oh, look at that, and you know, whatever. But yeah, I still have those photographs to this day. That's got to be 50 years ago now. Yeah, it is that long. 47 years, yeah, trying to do the math. Long time. And I still have those. And people see them in my house, go, oh, where'd you buy those? I'd like to get them. I go, well, I tell you what kind of beer did you bring with you? And you give me a beer, I give you a print of the slide. And they don't have any beer. Guess what? You don't get a print, brah. So ZZ is something else. Dusty Hill recently passed away. I think that was about a year and a half ago. It's a shame. You know, he was something else. He was a great bass player. Now, oddly enough, his bass player, Tech, Nishan, that's been with the band since, he said on his bio, day one, okay, let's say first tour. And he knew how Dusty played. He tuned the guitars, the bass, and he's playing with them now. I've seen a couple of gigs, not personal, but, you know, on the streaming situation there, internet. And from my mind always tries to see Dusty standing there. And he's just not there. He's gone. Billy Gibbons is still kicking it. And Frank Beard, drummer, is still there. And oddly enough, Frank Beard doesn't have a beard. Yeah, heavy, bro. but his guitar bass tech is badass. He lays down the tracks and he plays what needs to be played, and I like that. And so they're still on the road. So the genre's distinctive characteristics and storytelling elements remain integral in American music history. So the top 10, so I'll ask what the top 10 were. It was Lynyrd Skynyrd, Allman Brothers, ZZ Top, Molly Hatchet, Marshall Tucker Band, Black Oak Arkansas, which a lot of people, what? Black Oak is badass. I saw them once when I was living in Mississippi. Went down to the Coliseum in Black Oak, Arkansas, and some other bands, I don't remember them, but the songs escape me now, but they were hardcore. 38 Special, always loved 38 Special. Outlaws, good band. Charlie Daniels Band, and then Wet Willie. Charlie Daniels Band, great band, no longer together. Wet Willie, I'm not really sure what happened to them. But it's good to see them in the top 10. So some of these songs are, here we go. Yeah, I made a list, so, because that's what old people do, they make lists. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama. Allman Brothers, Rambling Man. Lynyrd Skynyrd again, Freebird. I remember when Freebird came out, and I listened to it two or three times. I was like, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? And then get to that end where the riff is going, the guitar solo's going. It's like, it's happening. You forget about the beginning of the song. You go, hang on a minute. And you listen to it again. So very clever, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Allman Brothers Band, The Whipping Post, a great song. I think that's a blues song, if you ask me. ZZ Top, Sharp Dressed Man, great song. Skynyrd, Give Me Three Steps. great story behind that. All these bands also, too, that I'm mentioning, all have documentaries on all the platforms, whatever you stream across, just type one of these in. They're typically free. Or just go to the genre in the streaming device and documentaries, and one of those will probably be in there. If it's not under documentaries, some of these services have music, and you go to music, and bam, you know, there's everything in there. The Outlaws, you know, Green Grass and High Times, everybody's heard that on the radio. Blackfoot, here we go, Train, badass. Charlie Daniels Band, Devil Went Down to Georgia. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody knows that one. everybody can probably sing part of that. Tuesday's Gone, Lynyrd Skynyrd, what a sad song. Wet Willie, Keep on Smiling. I remember that song. I think I was a paperboy when that song came out. That tells you how old I was. And one, I said boy. Two, paper. And yeah, paper boy. So I was like, okay, B, you're like a dinosaur, bro. Indeed. So diverse and enduring appeal of Southern rock right there, featuring a mix of bluesy guitar work, catchy melodies, and lyrics about the lifestyle and the culture of the South. So, you know, we talked about the roots in the American South, Southern rock and blues oriented in the Southern United States, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Texas. These are my people. Some people say Florida. There are some Florida bands. So I put Florida in there. Culture, history, traditions of the American South does not get better. Guitar driven sound, you know, both genres, blues and Southern rock, you know, the guitar is the central instrument, typically a Les Paul or a Stratocaster. Nothing like the sound of a Stratocaster, a good Strat. And then sometimes the rhythm guitarist, there may be some acoustic in there or a mic'd up acoustic guitar, just to fill it out. Skynyrd was famous for doing that, and people would see a guy standing. He was on the stage with the band, but strumming along. What's that dude doing? Yeah, and he was filling those parts that, you know, that weren't filled in this, that were filled in the studio. And, you know, back then, you know, you'd go see that there was no tape machines, there were no synthesizers, there was no pedals. You wrote the music, you recorded the music, and you toured with the music. These are real musicians. You know, you often find dual lead guitarists with, you know, different types of solos. You know, there'll be a Les Paul tuned one way, another Les Paul tuned another way. And they both sound badass, you know. And then there's the slide guitar, which is something that I, the Dole Pro that you'll hear with the Eagles, which is definitely not a Southern rock band, more of a hippie band, if you will. You'll hear slide guitar, and also a lot of what I call quote unquote classic blues. I'm a big Bonnie Raitt fan. Seen her several times. And actually one of my last professional gigs, as a lighting engineer was Bonnie Raitt, in Austin, Texas. The last time I lit a stage was with her, and it was an honor. So you got bluesy scales and progressions. Southern rock borrows heavily from blues scales and its chord progressions. You know, the blues scale is common in both genres, giving them a shared tonality, if you will. I think that's why you talk to a lot of people and go, man, that's a great blues song. And they're like, no, dude, that's rock and roll. It's rock and it's Southern rock, you know, but that's why you hear that sometimes when you talk to people. Of course, emotional and expressive playing, of course. I think all music is emotional and expressive, but Southern rock and blues is very emotional and very expressive. Musicians in both genres use their instruments to convey deep feelings and tell stories with their music. Yeah, buddy. Vocal style, there are a lot of different vocal styles. You often hear soulful, gritty, emotionally charged, you know, Janis Joplin, who was from Galveston, Texas. You know, she's gritty, if you will. Not Southern rock, but she is from Texas, so rock on, sweetheart. But she did have a gritty voice and a very emotionally charged. They often draw on pain, joy, and experiences of life in the South. And that is true. I can be listening to something and catch a lyric or a phrase, and it will take me back to that part of the South. Like I said, I'm from Texas and Mississippi. My mother was from Houston, Texas. And, you know, my father was from Yazoo, Mississippi. And they fell in love, and here we go. So I love both states. I love the South. I lived in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. I love living in Memphis. I was worked at a theatrical lighting company there as well, and loved it. I went out with regional acts and loved it. And, you know, Atlanta, Florida, all of these areas I've played in some capacity or another. If you ever heard of Shoco, I was a Shoco employee in the 70s. And no, I don't have any pictures. And the pictures I did take were with Polaroid camera, the zip camera, or whatever that thing was. Guess what? They're all faded. Or guess what? After 50 years, they're all gone. Back then, it don't take a photo, it didn't happen. You told somebody something, and they're like, cool. I used to have some backstage passes. I do have some t-shirts. It doesn't say B was here or anything. And then I have stories, a lot of stories. Chicks dig it when I tell the stories. Excuse me, I need some water after cracking myself up. Thank you. And like I said, I had my own production company for a while, my own lighting company, and I had a good time doing that. But all over the South, all over Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, Mobile, Alabama, Birmingham, ain't no ham in Birmingham, you know, all the way over to the Carolinas and back. And we even went up there to the Yankee territory, and we played up there for our Southern Rock, and it was kind of cool. And they thought we were something else. I remember the first times anyone told me, you have the most fascinating accent. And I was like, I like you too. I was young once. I had my time in the sun, so cool. So lyrical themes, you know, are hardship, love, loss, that we were just talking about. Rhythm and groove, a lot of groove in Southern rock and the blues. Often feature, you know, shuffling rhythms and a strong backbeat. And it kind of encourages dancing and movement. It's really easy to dance to Southern rock. So if you go to see a Southern rock band, your lady's going to want to dance, and you should dance with her. Don't be a jerk. Cross-pollinization. I found this. Many Southern rock bands and artists have been influenced and have influenced, you know, blues songs and vice versa. You can hear different songs, you know, that, hey, that's that cool Lynyrd Skynyrd song, but a blues player would do it. Or a, what you think is an original song is actually a song from the 30s or the 40s from an old blues player. Not a ripoff, but a cover, a tip of the hat, if you will, cross-pollinization. It's, you know, a blending of styles and shared musical heritage. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There are other common traits. It's also worth noting Southern rock is a subgenre of rock and roll. That is very true. It is. So of course it incorporates elements from rock music as well. Blending of blues and rock and other musical influence creates a unique sound and style that defines Southern rock. And that's the great thing that I loved about growing up and working in the South and becoming a lighting engineer. One of my first gigs was I worked for the Mississippi Recording Company. They recorded albums. They had a 24-track studio. I set up drums and guitars and mics and ran cables, did all of that inside the studio when people would come in to record. And blues artists, folk music, rock bands, anybody that had whatever the hourly rate was to pay for the room and the engineers to put the track down. And then they would take that and then have that mastered, and then they would take that and try to get a record deal. But that was my first gig, and my first roadie gig, the Mississippi Recording Company, the studio musicians there making a living as musicians, they had a band, and they played all the high-end country clubs in my area. So, yes, country clubs. So there would be a prom, or there would be a dance or a presentation or a Christmas party, you name it. And they would pay this band, let's say, $5,000. And I would take all the gear in with another guy. We'd set it all up. And when I mean all the gear, I mean the drums, the cellos, the woodwind stuff, all the mics, all the cable, all the sound stuff. There was no lighting. You know, they would play in the ballroom. This wasn't a rock gig. If there was lighting, sometimes there would be tripods on either side with some floodlights on it, typically blue and red. I don't know what they did. I never stayed for any of these gigs. You know, I would go home because I lived down the street, or I drove down the street or whatever, and, you know, hang with my parents because the gig wasn't going to be over until like 11. And then by the time I drove over there, everybody was gone. And then I had to pack everything back up, put it in our truck, and then drive back to the recording studio. And we'd have a call sheet for the next morning, typically Saturday morning. Okay, it's going to be a jazz band called. This is what they need. We would set all that up, and so I would get home at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Then I would get in my little Volkswagen Beetle and deliver the newspapers for Saturday morning. That's right. That's what I did. Get up on that. Anyway, but you know, I loved it, and I loved every minute of it. You know, Whiskey Myers. You know, Whiskey Myers is a Southern rock band from Texas. I know it. A lot of people have never heard of it. You know, some of their albums was Mud and Early Morning Shakes. Mud was a good album. Blackberry Smoke. You know, speaking of Atlanta, Georgia, Blackberry Smoke combined Southern rock, country, and blues influences. They have an album called Whippoorwill and Like an Arrow. I know Like an Arrow. I don't know the first one. The Still Woods, Nashville, Tennessee. There you go. Fuses Southern rock with elements of outlaw country. Not that familiar with them. Straw in the Wind gained attention in the genre. Bishop Gunn, yep, they were big. Southern rock from Mississippi. There you go. Get some of that for their soulful sound and for an album titled Natchez. And if you've ever been to Natchez, Tennessee, Natchez, Mississippi, you know, right off the Natchez Trace. If you have not been to the Natchez Trace, you should go. Fly into Jackson, Mississippi, get a rental car, convertible, make sure it's the cool time of the year, and go up the Natchez Trace from Jackson, Mississippi to Memphis, Tennessee. And you can thank me later. Cadillac 3, they're from Nashville. Southern rock, country, blues, you know, Bury Me in My Boots and Legacy, a couple of their albums. The Vagabonds, they were big in Alabama. Southern rock with American and folk, so kind of the folk influences. I never really got into folk music. There were a couple people that I knew were into it, and I went to a couple gigs, and I don't know, it just didn't, what do you say, float your boat. And they had an album, What We're Made Of, and it had a lot of acclaim. Cody Jinks, primarily a country artist, that's why you probably know that name. There were some Southern rock elements into his music, especially in albums like Lifers and After the Fire. After the Fire is a good album. So keep in mind that the scene is dynamic. New bands can emerge while others may evolve and change their styles. Don't we know that? I recommend checking out these bands, latest releases and exploring the current Southern rock scene. If you're in one of these cities in the South, or you're up there in the North, or maybe you're on the East Coast or West Coast, look into it. You know, there's probably a Southern rock band playing someplace. There may even be a Southern rock genre bar or around you, and go and hang out and scream yeehaw and apply that ZZ Top. Yeah, give them some of that. So we talked about the unique fusion of influences, unique fusion, rock and roll, blues, country, sometimes gospel and soul. There is a lot of gospel and soul in country, so I differ with that interpretation. The blend creates a distinctive and soulful sound and captures the essence of the American South. Regional identification, of course. You know, if you're not from Memphis, Tennessee, it's okay. It's all right. Go and visit. Have a good time. They sing about Mempho, because that's what we used to call. We used to call Memphis Mempho. It's okay. Just know that this song's about Memphis, and have a beer on B. You know, rural living, small towns, family, and regional pride are huge. Houston is this way. Dallas is this way. Austin is this way. All the cities in the South are like this. It may not say in the title, this is a song about my hometown, but somewhere in the lyrics is a song about their hometown. You know, because that's what you sing about. You sing about things you know, and that's what Southern rock is great about. Obviously, you know, iconic bands and songs like we just talked about, Skinner, Allman Brothers, ZZ, Sweet Home Alabama, Ramblin' Man, Freebird, you know, Legs, speaking of ZZ, considerable audiences, and they resonate through time. These are timeless classics. I mean, I still hear on the radio every day, and sometimes it's not a classic station. You know, it's like, yeah, play some ZZ Top, or play some, you know, you hear it. And also the influence on rock music. Southern rock has had a profound influence on the broader rock music landscape. Its guitar-driven sound, vocal harmonies, and storytelling elements have inspired countless musicians and bands across various genres. We won't get into that. I don't mean knockoffs. I mean just you can tell somebody listened to Skynyrd, you know, or somebody's been delving into, you know, the Allman Brothers. Come on now, really? It's out there. You'll recognize it when you hear it. You know, those common characteristics, you know, and the sub-styles and regional variations. Excuse me. As we talked about, the adaptability and capability of all the people that innervate, you know, Southern rock. And its enduring appeal, Southern rock's enduring appeal lies in its ability to evoke strong emotions, relatable lyrics, that's huge, and its memorable melodies, It continues to attract new fans while maintaining loyal fans, who grew up with the genre. My nephews, young men, wonderful young men, my sister, my brother-in-law, tip of the hat, wonderful young men. They love Southern rock. And I've had them ask me about Southern rock. And I go, yeah, dude, you need to listen to this. And then you need to go to Memphis. You need to drive the Natchez Trace. You know, you need to go to Atlanta. You know, you need to go down to Houston. You need to check out Galveston. I'm all about that. People who don't even know me, it's been a while now, but I was sitting someplace and having probably a beer. Excuse me, I need to drink some water. So I go, oh yeah, I'm putting a song list together for a road trip down to Austin. What do you think? And they have some good stuff on that. I go, where's the ZZ Top? And, oh yeah, that's right. Where's the Allman Brothers? All right. You know, so you got to get that mixed in there. Dude, you're in Texas and you're driving to Austin and you don't have any Top on there. Shame on you. So that's cool that contemporary rock bands keep emerging. Beyond the musical, contributions, Southern rock is cultural significance, as you can tell from listening to your buddy B, serving as a vehicle for storytelling, preserving the history and heritage of the American South. Speaking of Memphis, I was thinking about this the other day while I was doing the whole regional band thing. There was a band that I worked with a lot, and I knew musicians, and there was a place in town called Poets, and we would all go there and hang out, listen to music, and drink beer. And then we'd go gig, I was a roadie, lighting guy, truck driver, you name it, I did it, up and down the highways of the South. Ardent Telecommunications is in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, ZZ Top records in Ardent. One of the guitar players I worked with, great guy, Jim, talented musician. I always said if anything ever happened to Billy Gibbons and ZZ Top, Jim could just step in because phenomenal player. I worshipped him at the time. Anyway, well, the closest thing to worshiping a guitar player. They get a lot of that, believe it or not. Really? I crack myself up. So Jim went to work for Ardent, and through him, learned a lot about the recording process. And he worked at a big music store there on Poplar Avenue. If you know Memphis, you know what I'm talking about. There was a time when music was everything to me. I got into professional touring one day, actually it was a night, early morning, when I was working. I am part of the IATSE, International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees. You see the IATSE spider at the bottom of every movie, and you see it on almost every album and every concert you go to. It's a union, theatrical stage union. I think it was formed in New York City, so that doesn't surprise anybody. But I had joined the IATSE so I could work at the Coliseum. And I was at the Coliseum, and the Doobie Brothers were there. I remember I was sweeping or cleaning up or something. They had done their loadout, and I thought they were gone. And a road manager was there, and he had this little you know those bullhorns? Attention, I'd like to talk to you all. That's my imitation of a bullhorn for all you wondering. And don't record that and then play that back as your ringtone. You'll be embarrassed, and I'll sue you. That's a joke, obviously. Record it. And if you make any money, send me a dime or two. And he just made an announcement. Hey, we need some hands. We're going up to Memphis. Speak of the mytho. And who would like to go? Now, at the time, I'm 16, maybe. Yeah, probably 16. I drove my car there. The same little Volkswagen I threw papers, morning papers, mind you. That job. And one guy did and nobody else did. And I raised my hand. I go, what does it pay? And, you know, I raised my hand and at the same time said, what does it pay? Now, I probably said, sir, because, you know, I'm from the South and we say, sir, and thank you, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And we open the door for people. That's a thing. We do that. You're raised that way. He told me something that I thought, wait a minute. And we didn't have, well, we had calculators, but back then I could do math in my head because I had not had the iPhone injected into my life where I could just calculate stuff when normally I would just do that in my head because I did go to high school a little bit. That's an inside joke. And he told me that, and I figured out what that would be, and I go, so how many nights do you need? I said nights because, you know, I'm thinking go to Memphis, you know, they'll use us. We'll be doing the grunt work, the cable work. It was like, you good with 6 weeks? I did the calculation again, and I was really good with that. I didn't have a house payment, obviously. I was living with my parents. I didn't have a car payment because I had a used Volkswagen. I didn't have bills. The money that I was making on the paper route, I was buying comic books with, I think. I'm not sure what I did with that money. I think it went to a savings account or a checking account. Not sure. So I go, yeah, I'll go. And then we got on this bus with the other roadies and, we rode to Memphis and my life started because I had left, Mississippi and gone to Tennessee and on my own without telling anybody. We did the load in and the band did their sound check and we did our tweaks and everybody went back to the bus to sleep and I went to find, and you may have to look this up, a pay phone in the Coliseum up there in Memphis. And called my father. It was a dime, and I had dimes, you know, because you carried change with you back then. My dad, you know, B's residence. And I was like, hey, Dad. He goes, where are you, boy? I'm like, well, Dad, let me tell you. He goes, your papers were delivered an hour ago. They're still sitting out there. I go, Dad, I'm in Memphis. He goes, what'd you do, boy? Anytime he called me boy, I was in trouble. Anytime my mother called me by my full name, my first name, my middle name, and my last name, I was really in trouble. Because when Mama Bear throws out, you're either going to die or you're going to pay for what you did. My dad would just call me boy. And so I explained to him. He goes, okay. And then before he could scold me, I said, Dad, it's an hour. And every day it's this. They feed me. They have their own transport, of course. I have a pair of jeans. They give me a clean T-shirt every night. There is laundry facility here. I can run down to the Walmart. Back then it was Kmart. Down to the Kmart and buy another pair of jeans and a packet of underwear, six-pack of underwear and some socks. And another pair of tennis shoes. I found that I needed those Converse high tops for my ankles. because my ankles weren't doing too good. It's a heavy, hard work, and it's about 6 hours straight of that. I explained all that to him. He goes, well, you have it worked out. I'm going to deliver your papers, and then I'm going to call your boss, and you're not a paper boy anymore, boy. I'm like, yes, sir. And he hung up. I was like, son of a bitch. I guess I'm done. I'm out. What, am I moving? What's going on? So 6 weeks later, I was in Florida. Oh, I was down Orlando down there, other side of Florida, on the East Coast side of Florida. And the gig was over. My contract was over. And every week I was sending my father, because they cut me a check. I looked at it and went, damn. And then I would put it in an envelope, and you would buy a stamp. And there was no stamps.com. There's no .com anything. And put it in a mailbox. And it would be delivered to my dad. My dad would take it. And I didn't know he opened an account, a real checking account. He was depositing these things in this account. I did not know that. So the other guy's going, hey, you need a ride to the airport. We're all flying out of here after the loadout. You know, we would load the gear, and then the gear would go to the sound company and the lighting company and the staging company. And then we would all go wherever we were from. And I go, yeah, sure. And the guy went, kid, you're going to need about $200 to buy a ticket back to Dallas and, you know, or back to Mississippi. And wherever you're living now, I go, yes, sir. And he goes, then you're going to need cab fare money. So, I can cut your check, and I can remove $200 from it. And I can give you $200 in $20 bills. So that's what he did. I think he gave me $300 in $20 bills. So I got a fucking $300. Excuse my language. I've got effing $300 and $20 bills in my front pocket. I did have a wallet, but $300 and $20 bills will not fit in your wallet, because I never had that back when you used to have wallets instead of the old plastic-o-rama. And it was again. I got on a plane with the other guys. Somebody else was one. Their layover was in Mississippi, and then they were flying on to Michigan or Detroit or something, Illinois. And we were on Delta. Delta was big at that time in the South. They may still be. I'm not sure. Always fly American if possible. I like them. And did that and landed all by myself at 3 a.m. and then held a cab, something I got good at doing, and gave them my parents' address. And I go, how much is that going to be? And the guy goes, $27.50. I'm like, all right, because I don't know anything. This is 1970-something, okay? I am clueless. When I say clueless, I'm clueless. I was not naive, but I was clueless, okay? All these life lessons are coming fast and hard at me. Thank you, Southern Rock. Doobie Brothers was not Southern Rock, but you know what I mean. Showed up. I had a key to the front door, side door over there, and came in, and I remember smelling something in the house. Mama made, whatever mother made was delicious. Went in the kitchen, turned on the light. It's 3 a.m. Nobody's awake, obviously. There's no microwave, so I turn on the oven, and I heat up some pot roast or whatever it was, and I get all that and an iced tea. And I just think to myself, we did have a swimming pool. My father was very successful, and he took care of his family and went out and sat on the pool and next to the pool and turned the pool lights on and just tried to absorb what had happened to me. I must have sat out there 2 or 3 hours because Dad came out, had a cup of coffee, and hey, how you doing, B? And he didn't call me boy. And he shook my hand. That was huge, bro. When your dad shakes your hand for the first time, you're a man. And he didn't call me boy. Several days later, he goes, hey, put all that money into your bank account, because I was just sending it to the family. To be speaking, I was naive. I thought it was the family's money, and I thought I owed my family something. And I was like, you know, Mom can go grocery shopping. She can buy a new whatever she wants. My sister, her Sissy, can buy a, yeah, her name is Sissy. I'm Southern. And, you know, she can buy whatever she wants. And her dad's like, so that's you earn that money. If you'd like to buy gifts for your family, that would be welcome, not needed, but welcome. You know, we do have birthdays and Christmas. And so that's what I did. So that is my story of the Southern Rock experience. And then from there, I did many bands, ZZ Top being one of them. I was a roadie. I was a lighting engineer. I was a road manager. I had a couple of tours. I did not like that because, like managing anything, you have to manage people. And people cannot be managed. I would rather manage processes and machines. So, you know, I say rock on, no matter what your genre is. I love, you know, prog rock. I love hard rock. I love Southern rock. But that's where everything started with B, was Southern rock. And always remember, accelerate with confidence.